verse of scripture we would like to consider this morning with the Lord's help. Verse 19, in the words of the Apostle Paul to the saints of Galatia, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." The Apostle Paul in this epistle to the Galatians is scathing in his attack on the teachers of false doctrine. Look at chapter 1, verses 7, 8 and 9. He's speaking here of those who are preaching another gospel, which, he says, is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, to preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Then turn to chapter 5. Paul again deals with the teachers of false doctrine. He says of them in verse 12, "I would they were even cut off which trouble you." We must remember, these are the words, not the rantings and the ravings of a man out of control, but these are the words written by a man under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Paul wrote in this epistle what God commanded him to write. And the Lord here told Paul to denounce the teachers of error, error that had been sown by them among the saints of Galatia. These false prophets, of whom Paul denounced by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, these false prophets had told the believers there that it was necessary for them to be circumcised and to adhere to the teachings of Moses. And they told them that these things were essential to salvation. Paul himself had been confronted with this teaching in his own day and had rejected it immediately. Look at Galatians 2, verses 4 and 5. Paul says, "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we give place by subjection?" No, Paul says, not for an hour. We didn't entertain them at all. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And so Paul says we did not entertain them. No, not for an hour. But unfortunately, with regard to the saints of Galatia, instead of doing what Paul did and rejecting this false teaching, they embraced this false teaching. They had embraced this false gospel, and the result was very evident. They became very legalistic. Look at chapter 4 of Galatians. Verses 9 and 10. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Verse 10. Ye observe days and months and times and years. Paul said, you're in bondage again. Why have you turned again from the, or turned away from the liberty that you have in Christ and become so legalistic that you're once again in bondage? And Paul says in Galatians 5 and verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Putting themselves under the yoke of bondage, they had taken a backward step. Instead of coming under the yoke of Christ, they put themselves again under the yoke of the law, brought themselves into bondage. Paul, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, He said, take my yoke upon you. Not the yoke of the law, but the yoke of grace and mercy. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So they had turned a blind eye to the teaching of Christ and again had brought themselves into bondage by embracing the teaching that had been put forth by these false prophets. Another result of their embracing of this legalistic teaching was their great loss. They suffered the loss of many things. We've already noted they lost their liberty. The liberty that had been purchased for them by the blood of Christ, and the liberty that they could have enjoyed in Christ. They lost a number of other things. They lost sight of Christ. It was one of the great losses. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you or charmed you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? The gospel has been preached to you. Christ has been presented to you. You've received Christ as your Savior, your faith in Jesus Christ. Why now? Why then turn your eyes away from the Lord and start looking again to the law? Why have your eyes on the law when you have the Lord? That's what had happened. They lost sight of Jesus Christ. Instead of looking to Him, they looked to the law. Chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him. From who? From Christ. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him, that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Do you notice here what false gospels will do? The false gospel will inevitably lead men and women away from Christ. And here we see it in the Galatians. You're removed from Him. There's been many a false gospel preached and is being preached. And if that gospel does not lead men and women to Christ and to look to Christ and to embrace Christ, it's a false gospel. Because the true gospel of Christ will always lead men to look to the Savior. Always. They lost something else when they embraced this false teaching. They lost their sympathy for God's servant. Galatians 4, verse 13. Paul, when he came to them, had been readily received by the Galatians. Paul says in verse 13, "Ye know how, through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye speak of? For I bear you record that, if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me." And this is why many believe that when Paul prayed about the thorn in the flesh, that this was the thorn in the flesh he was speaking about. He had a disease of the eyes. And Paul says, "When I came to you in the infirmity of the flesh, you didn't reject me. Rather, you embraced me. You accepted me as you would accept an angel of God, yea, as you would accept Christ Himself. In fact, your love for me was so great, you would, even if it was possible, would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me." But that's all changed. Where's their love for Paul now, since they embraced this false teaching? For Paul goes on to say, verse 16, "Am I therefore become your enemy? Where once you loved me and embraced me, now I'm your enemy. Why am I your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. You've been charmed by these false teachers. You've embraced this false teaching. You've turned away from Christ. You count me as your enemy. Where's the love of Christ in your heart? Where is the evidence that the love of Christ is in your heart?" Dear child of God, how often have we seen this in those who have become very legalistic? They become cold and hard and exhibit no love for souls or for God's people. They become very judgmental and critical of others because, you see, they've set their own standard according to the law. And if we don't come up to their standard, look upon us as being worldly and fleshly and carnal. I've seen it so many times. They look down upon others and other believers who they feel do not come up to their standard. you don't have that love and compassion for God's people and for souls, I don't see it. It's not there. It's because they have embraced this legalistic teaching. And the law is cold. And the law is hard. And the law is judgmental. And they become like that. Where's their liberty in Christ? Where's their love? Turned away from the Lord. They lost something else, these Galatians. They lost their song. They lost the joy of the Lord in their hearts. Their song had gone. Chapter 4, verse 15. Paul says, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? In other words, Paul is saying, where's the blessedness you once knew? Where's the joy you once had in your heart when you received Christ? Where is it now? Gone. They've lost the joy. They might well have said with the hymn writer, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? That's what happens. When men get their eyes on the law, then they have taken their eyes on the Lord. They lose their joy and their compassion and their sympathy when they lose sight of Christ. And this troubled Paul. This troubled him greatly. After all, those who had received Christ in Galatia were his sons and daughters in the faith. Paul had preached to them. It was under his ministry they had come to the Savior. And now he sees what's happening and he's concerned. He's greatly troubled. That's why he says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again. Again. Paul felt as though he was starting all over again with the saints at Galatia. See what he said, what else he has to say about them. We've already noted what he said in Galatians 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed, so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Chapter 3, verse 1. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Chapter 4, verse 11. Something else to say about the Galatian believers. Verse 11. I am afraid of you. I'm afraid. Lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. I'm afraid. I want to see you going on, but I'm afraid that you're going back. Chapter 5, verse 7. Paul says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? No wonder Paul said the things he did against the false prophets. He could see the damage that was being done in the church. Why did this all happen so quickly? Why were they so soon won over, charmed by the false teachers? The answer is simple. because of their immaturity. They were immature. Isn't that what he calls them? He says, my little children. And they also wondered why they were so soon turned away from the Lord. As little children, as immature Christians, they'd been charmed by this erroneous message. And Paul is greatly pained and greatly troubled when he saw what was taking place. Dear child of God, once more, it's something we've seen time and time and time again. Immaturity in believers, those that are just saved a short time, can be so easily tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Because they don't know enough of the truth. Paul mentions here the truth a number of times. Because they don't know enough of the truth, they will readily embrace error. Before we know it, they're away from God. This emphasizes the importance of knowing the truth. The law brings a man into bondage. The truth will set him free. And the truth will always set us free. Paul says, my little children. This is the only time Paul ever used that phrase in his writings. John, in his epistles, used it quite often, but here is the only time. Surely it is expressive what was going on in Paul's heart and how he felt. He says, my little children. Says, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He says, I travail before to bring you to the birth. I preached amongst you. I prayed for you. I travailed until you came to the new birth in Christ. Paul says, it's as if I'm starting all over again. I travail in the birth again. How poignant that word again is. Are we starting again, Paul says? Are we to start all over again? They'd made no progress. Rather, they'd gone back. And Paul says, my little children of whom I travail, in birth again until Christ be formed in you. That's what Paul wanted to see. Christ being formed in these believers. And what Paul desired for the saints at Galatia, it is something surely that we should all as individuals desire. Desire that Christ be formed in us. What does that mean? What does it mean to have Christ formed in us? Christ, as it were, has been born in us. We've been born again. And just as the Lord Jesus, as God manifest in flesh, came into the world as a babe was born in Bethlehem, he grew and matured until we see him in the temple as a 12-year-old boy. Then we see him in his 30s, beginning his ministry. He was born, and then he grew and matured and developed. Paul says, I want to see this in you. I want to see Christ developing in you, growing in you, until Christ be formed. Let us consider the work of Christ being formed in us. The work of Christ being formed in us. It is very clear from the words of the Apostle this forming, this developing of the Lord Jesus in the believers was not taking place? Was this false teaching that had stumped their growth and their development, had hindered their development? It is clear that they were not been made like Christ at all. We can see that in how they looked upon Paul now as their enemy. Where's the love of Christ? It wasn't there. We're not becoming Christ-like. Dearly beloved, from the moment Christ was born in us, we should be developing. And Christ then being formed in us so that we become more like Christ. Be more Christ-like even today than when we first knew the Lord. It's very evident from our text that this forming of Christ in us is a work of grace. For Paul says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until I will travail until Christ be formed in you." Paul wanted to see the Lord Jesus being formed. Christ developing. Chapter 3, Galatians verse 23. "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law, this is what the law is," Paul says. "The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Notice in that verse 24, there are three words in italics. To bring us, with reference to the schoolmaster, "wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us." If you leave out those three words in italics, now read the verse. "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster unto Christ." The law was the guide. The law was the schoolmaster that guided Israel, guided them until the coming of Messiah. Paul here says, "But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster." Who are we under now? We're under Christ. We're under Him. John 1 verse 17 tells us that the law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We're not under the law, we're under grace. Doesn't mean that we live a lawless life, of course. We don't become lawless. We're under grace. And this is a work of grace, Christ being formed in us. We see then that it is a progressive work. Paul said that he would travail for the Galatians until Christ be formed in them. The new birth, of course, does not make us instantaneously like Christ. At the new birth, we are immediately justified, of course, declared righteous in the sight of God. But as far as our Christian living is concerned, it doesn't make us instantaneously like Christ. There are many things to be taken care of. That work of sanctification must go on and go on apace in our lives. day and daily, dying to sin, day and daily, living unto God and unto righteousness. We would trust that today, however many years it has been from that time Christ was born in us, people come to look at the new child. What's the first thing they'll say? Oh, I think he looks like his dad, or I think he looks like his mum. Personally, I don't usually think they look like any of the parents at all. They're just a baby. Until later on, and they begin to develop and grow. And then that child takes on characteristics of the father or the mother. And then whenever they get married, wife or the husband say, oh, you're just like your ma, or you're just like your da. They recognize then the characteristics of the parents a lot clearer. So it should be in our spiritual life, our spiritual growing up. As the years go by, we should become more and more like our Savior, exhibiting the characteristics of the Lord and the conduct of the Lord. That's Christ being formed in us. It's a progressive work. Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And there we read them. Ephesians 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. I want you to remain as children. Speaking spiritually, of course, that you be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That's what happened. That's what happened to the Galatians. They were immature. They were but babes when they were charmed by this false teaching. They were tossed or carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto Him. There it is. May grow up unto Him. There's Christ being formed in the believer. May grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We see then that this is a deep work. Notice Paul desired that the Christians might be, that Christ might be formed in them. Paul's desire for his converts did not refer merely to them being further instructed or receiving further instruction. He doesn't merely refer here to, when he's speaking about Christ being formed in them, about them having a fuller knowledge of Christian doctrine, which is good and most necessary, and more than that. Rather, it is the recognition that the new life which began in them at the new birth when they were saved, like all life, must grow to maturity. And that's a deep work. And that's a work of God. And that's a work of grace. It's a developing work. This progressive forming of Christ in the believer. You think of the number of times Paul refers to the spiritual man growing. Peter is told, as 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye might grow thereby. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, Paul speaks about his faith growing. 2 Peter 3, we read there about growing in grace. Ephesians 4, verse 13, verse 15, we read there about growing up into the stature, verse 13 of Ephesians 4, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Growing up into the stature of Christ. Same word is used with reference to the Lord Jesus Himself in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. After His appearance at the temple with Mary and Joseph. And He returned home and was subject unto them. And we are told that He grew in stature. Same word. Christ grew in stature. May Christ grow in stature in us. So Paul's speaking about here. By growing up, increasing in knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. There's only one perfect man. That's Christ. We're to grow up unto that perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's a deep work. It's a developing work. It's a divine work. It's a work of God. Remember what Paul said to the Philippians chapter 1 verse 6? Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 and verse 13. Paul is dealing with the same theme as he has dealt with in the first chapter of chapter 2. He says, "For it is God which worketh in you." God is working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless. Who was blameless and harmless? Christ. There it is again. Forming of Christ in the believer. The Lord God doing that work in us. Paul says, that we may be blameless and that we may be harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Christ is the light of the world. See, everything points us again to the Lord. Every time. This is the forming of Christ in us. The development that goes on. It's a work of God. I need to pray, Lord, continue that work in my heart. Continue that work in my soul. Not only is it a progressive work, it's a primary work. It is evident from our text that Paul regarded the forming of Christ in these believers to be of primary importance. He doesn't mention anything else here. He's concerned about them. He's pained in his heart because of what had taken place, because they were so soon removed from the truth. And it hurt him. Paul says, what I want to see. He doesn't mention anything else. He says, what I want to see is Christ being formed in you. Does this not then emphasize how important this is? It's of primary importance. And everyone who professes the name of the Lord Jesus, it's of primary importance to everyone who has experienced the new birth. And God Himself emphasizes the importance of this. This Christ-likeness in the life of the believer. Romans 8, verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Mark the words. He also did predestinate to be conformed. Predestinate to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. That's why God has saved us. Yes, He's saved us from our sins. Saved us from a lost eternity. And saved us that we might be conformed to the image of the Son. The word conformed is interesting. The word means having the same form. In the original, it is akin to the word that we have in our text. That Christ be formed in you. It is the will of God. Christ be formed in us, that indeed we become like Christ, and we become Christ-like. The word refers not to the external and transient, but the word remains and has reference to the inward and the real. So we're not talking about something that's merely on the outside. It has to start in the heart. That's why we sang this morning, I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean. Sunlit heart with not a cloud between, a heart like thine, a heart divine. On me, dear Lord, a heart like this bestow. It is therefore the will of God that we be conformed to the image. This is the only image of Christ the Bible permits. That we be conformed to the image of Christ. To become like the one who is saved. During my visit there to Ulster, I was ministering for the first week for the Reverend David Linton and his church. On the first Sabbath evening we were there, the house was full of people. And there's one young man there whom I had never seen before. He just got recently engaged to one of Mr. Linton's daughters. And Mr. Linton says to me, do you know this young man? 18 years, early 20s. I'd never met him before, and I recognized him immediately. Why? He's just the picture of his father. He's the son of one of our ministers. And as we would say, he's just a spitting image of his dad. And even the way he talked. And his mannerisms and his characteristics, I recognized him immediately. Mr. Linton didn't have to tell me his name. I knew it immediately. May that be the case with us. May Christ be recognized. May Christ be seen in us. May we indeed be conformed to His image.
time has gone, and I'm only not even through the first point yet, so we'll have to leave it for this evening. But what we have said today, take it to heart. Ask the Lord to apply it to our hearts today. And pray, Lord, form Christ in me. Let me be the very image of my Savior. In conduct, may I have His characteristics. Let Christ be seen in me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious, loving Father, we pray that even as Paul prayed for the Galatian believers, Christ would be formed in them. O Lord, we would pray to that end for ourselves as well. Oh, that Christ would be formed in us. For dear Lord, when we look at ourselves sometimes, we most certainly don't like what we see. But all of Christ is formed in us, then we'd see more of Him. And He is altogether lovely. O loving Father, do that work. That work that we cannot do. Carry on that work in our hearts. Dear Lord, for any soul today and they don't have Christ in their hearts, the Lord has not been born in them. There is yet not born again. Lord, today, save them by Thy grace. Loving Father, write the word from the fleshly tables of our hearts today. May we not, Lord, just dismiss it as another message. And feel satisfied we've been to church and we've heard the word. But Lord, may we take it home today and meditate long upon Thy word. And dear loving Father, may indeed the Lord Jesus be formed in us. Be with us, our Father, as we leave the house of God. Take us to our homes in safety. And those, Lord, who have quite a few miles to travel today, bless them with Thy presence. And return us, Lord, those who are able to come tonight in Thy will and providence. Turn us to Thy house this evening to learn more about our blessed Savior. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abide and remain with us now until that day when we shall awake and we shall see the King. In His name we pray. Amen.